Yes, ma'am. Can you state your name?
Adrian Stearns.
Ms. Stearns, just one second. My name is Louis Quinones, and I'll be serving as the panel chairman on your hearing.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'll start the hearing properly in just a second.
Yeah, I'm having a kind of a hard time hearing you.
Okay, hold on. Let me see if I can adjust my mic.
Thank you.
It's been a problem all day. Is that any better?
A little bit.
How about now?
If I can't hear you, I'll let you know. I'm just...
Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
It's Adrian Joyce Stearns, ADC number 319764.
Thank you, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the two alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed your form on October 16, 2017. Is that correct, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Hearing no attorney with you in the room, are you representing yourself today, ma'am?
I'm representing myself today.
I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. You cannot see us, but we have a 5-member panel. In the room is the Honorable Mr. David Neal, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for your hearing.
Okay.
Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Oliveri, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Okay.
Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So Ms. Stearns and Mr. Oliveri, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Thank you. Ms. Stearns, this hearing will be conducted in 2 phases. Phase 1 will be to determine if you violated the conditions of supervision. With Phase 2, deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked.
Okay.
I will begin Phase 1 by reading from the warrant of arrest. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections and then we can talk about it. The board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, sir.
I will now read from the warrant of arrest. You violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed, or probably about to lapse in a criminal waiver of company as follows. Allegation number 1, violation of condition number 3 is demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 2165 East University Drive, Mesa, Arizona, on or about August 16, 2017, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Ms. Stearns, is this true or false?
This is true.
Thank you, ma'am. In allegation number 2, violation of condition number 2, is demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about August 17, 2017, as verbally directed on August 8, 2017. Your whereabouts were known, thus you're an absconder from supervision. Ms. Stearns, is this true or false?
This is true.
Thank you, ma'am. Based on Ms. Stearns' admission, I move to find her delinquent as she violated the terms and conditions of her supervision and that she may have or have lapsed in accrual ways or company.
Second.
I agree.
Oh, some weird noise just came over the phone.
Oh, okay, pardon me. Is it clear now?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. Just give us one second and we'll continue with the second phase of your hearing. Okay, Ms. Stearns, we're going to move on with the second phase of the hearing. During this phase, we will determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Oliveri, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. If you'll just remain on the phone, we will come back to you momentarily for questions. Okay, ma'am?
Okay. Thank
you. Mr. Oliveira.
Offender Stearns was released from the Department of Corrections on August 7th of 2017. She was arrested on September 18th of 2017 by Mesa PD on her absconder warrant only. Returned back to DOC custody that same day. She has 32 days abscond. Her projected supervision end date will be on January 6th of 2018. Current conviction, 2015, resisting arrest, 9 months. There are no prior convictions noted. She has only one term with ADC. CUNR scores are a 2-1, mental health score of a 2, and a substance abuse score of a 1. There is no STG gang information noted. There are no prior terms of supervision. There is no disciplinary history, and there are no other arrests noted. Her community risk level is a G1B1.
Thank you, Mr. Oliveri. Ms. Stearns, I'm going to do a quick review of your case supervision summary.
Okay.
It looks like that you were released from prison with an approved address at TLC in Mesa, Arizona. You requested and were given permission to reside with your brother, Matthew Adam, 2165 East University Drive, Mesa, Arizona. You reported no other address while on supervision. So is that where you lived the whole time?
Yes.
Were you working at all when you were outside of the prison system?
No, I was trying to get my access back and my food stamps, trying to get help with, getting a cell phone, trying to get doctor's appointments set up because I had to have a procedure done, and trying to get appointments set up, to get back into therapy, and just trying to access, any type of resources that I could to get back on my feet again at that moment. Once I got my procedure taken care of and recovered from that, I was going to start looking for a part-time job while reapplying for disability because in the past I had broken my back and I hadn't been able to work since. I had planned on getting a part-time job and trying to gather my strength back up to eventually working full-time, but in the process getting help. Because, it's going to take a little bit for me to get that strength back up. But I do plan on working. I wanted to start going to school as well. So that was my plan at the moment. I didn't really get that far. I had a misunderstanding with the curfew situation with my brother. I agreed to a curfew, and I misunderstood him because I was going to stay with friends that night. And I didn't know that the curfew was still intact if I was going to stay with a friend for the night, but apparently it was, and that was that. And so I got scared, I made a mistake, and I have an issue with severe anxiety. I realized that since I've been here, when something causes me a severe anxiety, I made the mistake of trying to avoid that feeling, and I got scared and was thinking that I would just get thrown back in here, when instead I should have contacted my parole officer and talked to her about the situation and seen what she could have done to help me. I didn't realize exactly how much she was there to help me instead of hurting me, and I know that now by talking with other inmates. I see where I went wrong. And I know that I should have contacted her. I kind of kicked myself for not contacting her. And, I know that if I do get a second chance, that, if I'm not, that will make her my new best friend. that's what the situation was. I got scared. And I avoided the anxiety that it gave me because I thought I was going to get some back. When in the long run, that's what happened anyway. And if I don't confront those anxiety issues, that's just where it's going to keep landing me. So I know what I need to work on now, what's causing me to have those problems, and what I need to do to fix it.
Okay, ma'am. You made reference to having some back issues when you talked about getting resources and applying for access. That all about back issues, or what were you, what sort of treatment were you looking for?
Well, that's part of the That is why I haven't worked. I have a different issue. I have to get procedure done because I have a high grade amount of precancer cells in my cervix. And so once I get released, I have, I planned on getting that procedure taken care of, and then going and getting a job after that, because it's kind of number one priority, making sure that I don't, that the precancer cells don't turn into cancer. So that's at the time that I was out, that's what I was doing. I was getting my access back, getting my food stamps back, trying to set up doctor's appointments to get that procedure done. I haven't been able to work since I broke my back. And so that is what I was talking about, disability, because since I broke my back, I haven't, I've just had pain issues, which has kept me from that. And that's why I wanted to reapply for disability in the meantime to get help. But you can work for a certain amount of time while on disability, a certain amount of hours. So I plan on being able to, or plan on trying to find a job, a part-time job after having my procedure, and then working those part-time hours. So I'm seeing if they will help me in gradually working my hours up, getting my strength back since I haven't been able to work in so long.
I do need to move this along. Have you had anyone in the infirmary there, have you talked to anyone about your precancer issue?
Yes, I have. Yeah. I let them know that, I do plan on getting the procedure done once I'm out. That's my, that is my number one priority because, I can't get that, I don't want it to move any farther. My number one priority.
Okay.
And that, so, on top of keeping
control. Okay, ma'am.
You were assigned. I think that will help me, actually.
You were assigned to the random urinalysis program with a color code peach. It looks like that you absconded before your analysis, so were you having any problems with drugs out in the street?
No, I thought that was strange. There were a couple times that I missed calls. But I had called a couple times, and how it's normally a voice recorded message? But I got, there was a man answering the phone, and I had gotten the number from online because I had lost the paper. And I called, and he asked me what color I was, and I told him, he said, "You don't have to come today." I was like, okay, and that was two times that happened. And then there were two times that I missed. And then I think about the last week that I was, out there that I did miss that week also. So unless they called my color during those two times that I missed, or when I got that random person answering, I don't know, because every time that I called, it never called my color.
Okay, you were missing from community supervision for 32 days. What were you doing during that time, ma'am?
Just trying to get my stuff together still. My like I said, I had that misunderstanding with my brother, but I had gone to court to try to clear up some misdemeanor things, and which I did. I was still trying to contact doctor's offices because you have to, have to get referrals from this doctor and that doctor. I was waiting for my access cards to come through. It had been approved, but I was still waiting for those to come through, so I was waiting on the information to get them. But, I was doing what I was supposed to do. I just had lost my place to stay.
Okay, when you were arrested on your absconder status, the Mesa Police Department made contact with you. What caused them to make contact with you, ma'am?
I had left a friend's apartment, and they just happened to be walking through, and I guess they've been having trouble with trespassers there, and so that is what caused them to stop me.
Okay, so they ran your background and found out that you were missing from community supervision then?
Yes.
Okay, I think you answered a lot of questions when you were speaking with us, especially about not making contact with the parole officer. So I'm going to see if any of my fellow board members have questions for you. Yes, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Ms. Stearns, you mentioned some kind of a conflict with your brother about curfew.
Uh-huh.
And did that result in you moving out of that address?
It wasn't necessarily a conflict because I agreed to it, and I have no problem with that curfew whatsoever. I just misunderstood, or he misunderstood. It was just really a misunderstanding. I guess I thought that the curfew wasn't... If I was going to stay at a friend's that night, I didn't think that the curfew was... Basically, I just thought that it was okay if I stayed at a friend's that night, because it wasn't like I was going to come home late.
And did your brother know you were staying at the friend's house that night?
Yeah, they knew that I was going over there, and then I called prior to curfew to let him know, just in case, and he said that wasn't okay, and then he put my stuff outside.
Okay, so he did put your stuff outside, and when was that?
That night.
What night would that be?
I can't remember the date. I believe it was probably a couple days before, like a day or two before I was supposed to meet with my parole officer.
How many days before you were arrested? A month? 2 weeks? Just a guess.
Honestly, I can't remember. Maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
And where did you go during those 3 weeks or 4 weeks?
I was staying at a friend's apartment. And then I had stayed, stayed at a friend's apartment, and two different friend's apartments, because I didn't have anywhere. At the moment, I was trying to, I kept telling myself that I needed to call her, and I kept telling myself, I can fix this. It was giving me such bad anxiety, and that I avoided that feeling, and I should have listened to myself regardless of that anxiety. I realize that now, being in here, I've had that time to think.
Ms. Stearns?
I know where I went wrong, and now I know I
need to
confront that problem.
Ms. Stearns, when you said I should have called her, who do you mean by her?
My parole.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. No additional questions.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Any further questions?
Ms. Stearns, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I hear all the things that you're talking about, and I know that you had some medical issues that you talked in there, but why didn't you make an effort? I mean, you had opportunities to contact your parole officer. Why didn't you make that effort, even though you were having medical issues, and inform the appeal of the situation?
Like I said, I've had this severe anxiety, and I got scared that I was automatically going to be violated.
Did you,
by losing my place to live.
You didn't take any UA, so did you relapse and start back doing drugs?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Ms. Stearns, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We really ask that you don't repeat something that you have already told us.
Okay.
We've heard quite a bit of information. We appreciate it. How detailed it's been. But is there anything else you'd like to share? This is your hearing.
I just want to thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to speak with you, and just let you know that I am actually really excited to get my life back. And they have that saying that today is the first day of the rest of your life, and I'm really going to live up to the fullest from now on. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Ms. Stearns. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I appreciate how candid Ms. Stearns has been with us. It's unfortunate that she absconded from community supervision, especially because I think this is the sort of case where if she had been cooperative with the parole officer, there may have been some flexibility.
Yes, I agree. I wish I would have.
Just a second, ma'am. When the board's in discussion, I guess I didn't give you that warning. We're going into discussion. It may sound like we're speaking with you, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself? So if we'll just stay on the phone, we'll get back to you shortly with a decision, and that's my bad. I always give that warning, and for some reason I had a little bit of a blank before we went into discussion. So if we'll just stay on the phone, we'll get back to you with a decision.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Again, I think that if she had remained in contact with her parole officer, it probably would have helped her in a big way. She says that she wasn't involved with drugs out in the street, and I'm going to take that at face value, so that's a plus. It's unfortunate that she's fighting some health issues. Certainly we'd like to see people gainful, but it's certainly understanding. I certainly have understanding if she's had orthopedic issues, as well as fighting a possible pre-cancerous condition, which hopefully she'll get treatment for soon to get that managed. At the end of the day, she absconded for 32 days without contact with her parole officer. There was no contact until she was picked up by the police department. Based on her account, she was someplace where there may have been a lot of trespassing, so the police took her information and found that she was in abscond status. I find Ms. Stearns very pleasant, and I want to see her succeed outside of the correction system. She's very new to the criminal justice system. This is her first time. Unfortunately, her arrest was in 2015 for resisting arrest. But she had no priors. She has no prior periods of supervision, no gang affiliation. It looks like no discipline inside the Department of Corrections. I also noted that she made reference to struggling with some anxiety issues, and I think that that's something that she should probably take some efforts into looking into, only in that that's something that's probably well treated with counseling and maybe medication. That's at the physician's call, but something certainly that she can deal with. She has less than 2 months left of community supervision. Community supervision did not work out well for her. I think she might be best served taking advantage of these 7 weeks to put together a return plan, for a safe return plan, to have a plan to deal with the variety of issues that she's dealing with, and to seek any treatment or counseling that's available to her. And that's where I'll begin the discussion.
I agree.
Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion and see where the votes land. Based on the information provided in warrant number 2017W2964, I move to revoke community supervision as Ms. Stearns was delinquent by the terms and conditions of supervision, and as much that she absconded from supervision for 32 days and had lapsed or was about to lapse in criminal ways of company, and that is to say that we could not account for her activity when she was missing from community supervision, and that is my motion.
Agree.
And that second was from who?
Me.
Thank you, Mr. Stearns. Okay, Ms. Stearns, your supervision has been revoked. You'll be released on or about January 6, 2018. If you heard me during the discussion, that's about 7 weeks away. We certainly don't want you to take this as a negative. This is your first time in the correction system. This is your first time under community supervision. And I think that there was a bit of a learning curve. What we really hope is that you'll put together a plan for your safe return to the community, that you'll stay out of the criminal justice system for the rest of your life. We hope not to see you before this board ever again, and we mean that in the most positive way. So if you'll just concentrate on any programming that's available to you for these last 7 weeks, we want to see you do well when you come out on January 6, 2018. I want to thank you for appearing for this board. You're very pleasant. Thank you for being honest. The hearing is concluded. no further discussion may take place. If you could, please give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.